Bless God. How many ready for the word today? I'm going to continue. How many stayed all this time for the second service? Oh, I got a few of you. Well, I didn't finish very much. In fact, I have, I think, 11 scriptures, and we made it through one. So I'm going to try and do better in this service. But she is the love of my life. 54 years of marriage. Life's been good. She is my second Holy Ghost, helps keep me in line a little bit, and helps me when I don't finish thoughts that I should have finished in the last service. Y'all okay? And that's good. I really appreciate it. Sometimes you get going on things. And so those of you that were here in the last service, I'm going to encourage you to, that those of you that are not, were not here in the first service, please go to the YouTube or someplace. They'll be posting this. You can pick it up and listen to the first service because it went a different direction. And I guess that's what that group pulled out of me. Amen. And so we're going to try and finish the sermon today. But and for those of you that are here for the first, I just didn't hear the early one. Please listen to it. Okay. We started out. Lord, just ask that you bless this time. Help me to finish this sermon. And get all that you want said. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed with that. Amen. Well, I didn't even do this. I had a couple things that I jotted down. Doctor told me that jogging could add years to my life. And he was right. I feel 10 years older already. Doctor said, alcohol is slow poison for you and can kill you. The patient said, that's all right, I'm not in a hurry to die. You guys got to think about these a little bit. Doctor said he'd been, I'm not sure how to read that. That's my own writing. I can't read it. Doctor, did you take those pills for memory? The man said, what pills? Okay, I'm going to see if I can get this one yet. Doctor said he'd have me back on my feet in 2 weeks. He was right. I had to sell my car and pay the bill. All right, so jokes don't work so good here either. They don't work good at my church either, but I try them anyway. If you have your Bibles, turn them open to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And I'm not going to talk about it like I did in the last service. That's the only one we got through. But I do at least need to set the precedence. This was an audible word that I received from the Lord, just a few months after I was born again. And it has had a tremendous impact. It was an audible word and had a tremendous impact on my whole life. And it was spoken to me audibly, but I believe that it is a word for everyone because it's in the Bible. And this scripture is, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. And so that had been a word that God had to give to me, audibly perhaps, because it rings loud in my ears yet today. Because I had been the kind of person, by the time I was 8, I was pretty much on my own. Financially, in every way, I grew up very, very poor, but I was already on my own, earning my own way, and within just a few years, earning the way for the family and so on. And I knew that in my own heart, I can do it. I don't need anybody, and I don't need any help. So that's the reason I had to have that word from God, or I could never have finished my destiny or run my race. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. Now, what's most important about the scripture is that it has the ability within it, if you listen and if you're willing, to submit your will to his will. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's will. I mean, Jesus prayed that prayer for us, right? And so his will, now listen close to this because it's really important to your walk in Christ. When you submit your will to God's will, when you submit yourself to his word for your life, when you submit your will to by his stripes you're healed, when you submit your will So he became poor that you might be made rich. When you submit your will, the peace that passes understanding, when you submit your will, his will has power and yours doesn't. His will has been done in eternity from the foundation of time for your life. It's just sitting there waiting for you to believe and receive so that it can empower your life to run your destiny and reach your destiny. In other words, all of the power is there to take you there. All of the power is already in his will for your life to get you through your life blessed. Wow. And it becomes very important that you believe that God's will for you is blessed. The first thing he spoke when he made them in his likeness and image, he blessed them. The last thing that Jesus said before he ascended was, Lord, bless them. What does blessed mean? This is the promises of God. What are the blessings of God? What is the blessing? There's so much taught in religion that's contrary to what it actually is. God's plan for you is prosperity. That's why I wrote the book, Becoming a Millionaire God's Way. Prosperity means health, wealth, joy, peace, and highly favored. Which one of those would you not want? It is the same word, blessed and shalom and prosperity, from the original Hebrew all the way back through the Greek, has the exact same meaning. Shalom, prosperity, and blessed. Same word. So get over it. God wants you prosperous. And what's most important about it is you have a God that desires you to be blessed. He does not desire for you to be sick. How many know that he sent Jesus to bring healing to this earth? So was Jesus actually out of the will of God by causing healing? If God desired you to be sick as well as well, he wanted you to be poor as well as rich. If that was God's will, then Jesus was breaking every part of God's plan. But no, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan. He wasn't trying to fix God's mistakes. He came to fix our mistakes. We ought to at least be able to grasp that. So trusting in the Lord with all of your heart means that you have to believe that our God, my God, is only good. There's not a mean bone in him. He hasn't ever killed anybody. He hasn't ever destroyed anything in your life. He hasn't stolen anything from you. But there is somebody that has. He's called the enemy. God said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. How did we get that messed up? By religious teaching, perceptional heart beliefs that we've heard and heard this and heard that. People that have taught, lightning might strike you if you step out of line, Lord God, he'll get you. That's not my God. My God has no darkness in him. It says that in John. No darkness. Did you know that Jesus was asked a question about God, and Jesus said, there is only one good, and that is God. Now, wait a minute. There's only one good, and that is God. Now, you realize that Jesus only said what he heard his Father say. So God just told you, I'm good. Get it right. Been trying to tell you since the foundation of time, but religion has taught you all kinds of other stuff. Amen. Remember this. This is not an attack on the Bible or the Word of God, because I believe it's the holy, inspired Word of God. But there are problems with our translations. Have you noticed there's about 100 of them? Or maybe more. Besides being translated from 300 AD through our history, it's been translated another 100 times. So I have a problem with the translation many times. You say, well, what's up, God? Yeah, God's kept his concepts and his truth in the Word of God. But there are things in the Bible that you don't understand because of translation. How about if you write our offense, you pluck it out? Anybody doing that? Oh, maybe you don't understand it then. That's what the Word says. The Bible says that. So your right hand offends, you cut it off. Anybody do that? Have you tried turning the other cheek and get hit again? These are idioms, and you don't have understanding of what they mean. Turn the other cheek simply means don't argue religion. Cut off your hand simply is an idiom, Aramaic idiom, by the way, which Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. And it means don't steal. And your eye offends you simply means don't envy others. Now you see, you have understanding. Now it makes sense. Okay. And that's really what I'm trying to say. So Kenneth Hagin said there are only causative verbs, no permissive verbs in the translation from the Old Testament or Hebrew into English. So wherever you read in the Old Testament, God caused, or God killed, or God destroyed, or God harmed, or God hurt, or God stole, or God... it means God had to allow, because in the garden he gave dominion and authority to Adam and Eve. The devil stole it, and he was in charge with dominion and authority all the way to the cross of Calvary until Jesus went into hell, took dominion and authority back from him, and gave it back to us. So let that at least clean up your thinking on your Old Testament. Glory to God. So, well, what about the flood? There are 300. My second Holy Ghost reminded me that I didn't cover that well in the last service. Well, what happened was it was 10 generations from the fall of Adam to Noah. 10 is the word Yod, or the 10th letter in the Hebrew, which means the tree of life. The Word became flesh, Christ Jesus, the anointed Christ, your tithe, 10%, God's first fruit. That's what it means. Actually, that's what you're supposed to bring to church every Sunday. Not just your church, not just your tithe, but your anointing. So, well, I don't feel like the worship team was very anointed today. You need to go home and look in the mirror, because you got a problem, because you're the one to bring the anointing. You got Christ in you. The anointed Christ is in you. You're to bring that into the house. And the more we get in here, the more anointing we experience. It wasn't 2 in the upper room. It was 120 in the upper room. Now I get to preaching. Amen. Glory to God. Where was I going with that? I don't know. I have no idea. What was I talking about? Oh, the tithe. So the tenth. So... 10 years, or 10 generations, which is 40 years, 400 years. There was no word. There was no anointed Christ. There was nothing. And 2 of the firmaments collapsed. When God created the earth, he created back vision. Front, right, left, top, bottom. In order to make a three-dimensional world. Held together by his most powerful word, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. The universe is held together by his most powerful word. Is anybody here? Yeah. All right, so we got that. So what happens when there is no Christ, no word, no tithe, no giving, no nothing going on for 10 generations, 400 years? Every thought of man was only evil all of the time. 2 firmaments collapsed. The top and bottom have never been redeemed. That's why you have... don't blame God for storms. My God, get an understanding. Man destroyed 2 firmaments. We got hurricanes. We got volcanoes. They come from here and they come from there. They have never been redeemed and never will be. Is anybody home? Come on, somebody. Do you realize that there's only two things that were not called good in Genesis chapter 1? Everything he created, and it was good. And the third day, and it was good. And the fourth day, but read about firmaments. He never mentions that they're good. If he'd called them good, they could not have been destroyed. Okay, you want to see the deterioration of the word in America? Tell me that there isn't an effect. When you start pulling the Ten Commandments out of schools and the Bibles out of schools and the crosses coming down, you start messing with the word of God, and you're seeing a deterioration of a society. That's what happened with the flood. Our God is good. He didn't kill. He said in his commandments, thou shalt not kill. And then you want to believe that he went out and killed 300 million people in a flood? I got your attention. No. You know, God created heaven and earth. He didn't create hell. You did. By believing the enemy. He's got his own territory, his own place for you. And if you want to go there, you shall have free will to go. You show me in the Bible where he created it. The devil created it. He created it through you and your belief. God is only good, and there is no darkness in him. Man, I don't know how else to say it. My God is only good. I just finished a book on it. It'll be very controversial, and I didn't bring it along with me because I don't know the churches are ready for it. My church is, and they've been buying it, but I've been teaching on this subject for a long, long time because I happen to believe that my God is only good. I've had that belief since I got born again, even though I walked the walk. I even said it in the first service that I played their game. All I was saying was, I lived a good life. God took all of the bad habits out of my life, not because I heard it from man, but because the Spirit of God said, don't do it. So it wasn't that I was raising hell or doing wrong. It just meant I have to go along with religion to some degree, or I can't preach in a church. I mean, it's taken me a long time to be able to preach this sermon. Like 45 years. Where the body of Christ can receive it. Now, I remember when I wrote the book, Jesus Wasn't Poor, 1991. I sold one copy. I finally rewrote it. We're selling some now. But I thought I'd be stoned by my own congregation. Oh, you can't say Jesus wasn't poor. Oh, my gosh. He's born in a barn, wasn't I? Listen, he could have stayed at the inn. He went there to get a room, which means I had enough money to get a room. Right. It just happened to be full. Right. How did religion screw that up? And three wise men, really? Three wise men traveled from India. They would have been killed, slaughtered, stolen from, and had nothing. They came in a caravan, maybe 1,000, bringing Chanel number 5 and a bag full of quarters to bring to a king. Wow. How stupid is religion? Lord God, help us. We got the Magi and the three. That bothers me every time I see Christmas. I love Christmas, but I can't stand. Anyway. You see how religion has messed it up? They didn't come to the stable. They came to his house. They emptied their treasures. You see the difference. See what religion has pumped into your perceptions and your belief systems and your mind. And it gets you thinking all wrong about our God. The enemy's been working at this for centuries to get us to believe wrong. Because when we believe wrong, we don't receive right. Let's stay with truth. Truth is where it's at. Amen? Bless God. All right. So I was going to also mention, I love this. Can I do that, Lord? Okay, yeah, we're doing. Kind of fun. Can everybody in here say, oh? That's good. If you were to read laughter in a funny paper or a magazine funny paper and how they write it out, they would write it as ha, H-A. You ever wonder why it's been reversed? Because ha, or is the opposite of the name of God. Yod, or is what God added to people's names in the Bible. Part of his name is Ah. Every time a speaker in the White House or House of Representatives uses the word they're calling on God. They didn't know that. Probably don't tell them because they'll stop doing it. It's his name. He added to Jeremiah and Isaiah and Joshua and Yahweh. And then he gave it to Abraham, and then he added to Sarah, he added his name. He added the tenth. He added Christ Jesus' name. He added the anointing. He added the tree of life, the anointed Christ. Are you getting this? So the world's been using off for a long time. In fact, laughter used to be ha ha ha. Now it's ha 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 ha. Oh, well, that was, I gave you that free. That was just a little side trip, I think. Okay, we're going to look at some things here. Have you ever thought about David? I'm going to try and get there. I got 8 minutes to get there. So, you ever thought about David? In the Old Testament, David, how many know that his life didn't flow all that well most of the time? And maybe he didn't do everything quite right. Like maybe sleeping with the lady, taking a bath across the way, maybe having her husband killed. His whole family tried to destroy him. One brother raped his daughter. I mean, what a mess. Tried to become king. Yet he wrote the book of Psalms. Oh. Actually, what really struck me was the Bible says that David had a heart after God's own heart. And I thought, whoa, a heart after God's own heart? That's huge. What does that mean? A heart after God's own heart? And look how he lived. Got your attention? Interesting. So what is a heart after God's own heart? How do we explain this? See, many times, all of the time, God only looks at the thoughts, attitudes, and the intentions of the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He doesn't even look at all that you're doing. I mean, he got me saved from a disastrous life. I don't want to even give the enemy any credit for all that I probably broke every commandment before I got saved, and that was before I got married too. But God loved me enough to make me his kid. So don't tell me that if I'm not perfect today, he don't love me. Don't tell me that. If he loved me like that, Lord Jesus, he's got to love me today. Can anybody identify with that? He had nothing but good in store for me. I have felt my whole life that I'm one of his favorites. And I got to thinking, why do I think that? And why is it actually true? And I got to realizing that it's a heart issue. I have always believed that God is good. When things got messed up in my life, I never blamed God. I blame myself or I blame the devil. I've done stuff and I know that it was the devil got me to believe a lie. Hello? But I never blame God. God's been trying to get across to us all the way from the garden till today. I am good. I am, is who he is, good. Jesus said, he's good. Okay, we just said that. Jesus only spoke what God said. God's been trying to tell us. When we believe in our heart that God is only good, you can trust him with your whole heart. When you can trust him with your whole heart, you can trust him with his way and not your way. So we must get to a place to grasp and understand that our God is good. So let's take a look at some scripture here that maybe you've read through but never thought about. Let's take a look at Psalm 92, 12 through 15. These are Psalms. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Could talk about a palm tree for a long time. Bending in the wind, leaves fold up in high winds. It stands. It's got a root system that will not let go of the ground. I said it's got a root system that will not let go. That's the kind of tenaciousness you need in your house and in God's house and in the church. You can bend with the wind when that other church member is not quite that nice to you. Remember, the house is full of sinners, you know, saved by grace. The righteous shall flourish. Flourish means prosper, wealthy, blessed at every level. Shalom, all of those. Like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Did you know that means straight? That's why your telephone poles are made out of cedar. They're upright. Think about it. It says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's what should be happening in your life. The word of God is working in your heart. His goodness is working. When you're believing he's good, he can pour out continuous blessing. Whenever you feel condemned, whenever you think that God did some, why does he have the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? I just did a massive study on it, and I have some books. I don't think they've sent them, but this on the 10 suggestions or 10 principles of God. Do not use his name in vain means do not blame him for evil. Don't blame him for destruction. Don't blame him for anything evil. He put it in the commandment, trying to say, hey, just like, I got to stay with this. They shall spring forth fruit in an old age. Thank you, Lord. I'm 77. They shall be fat and flourishing. Well, I don't want to be fat, but blessed. It's your pastor's fault. He's been taking me places. I've been eating. And I had trouble butting. I mean, just in 3 days. Okay, so to show that the Lord is upright. Now, I want you to get this. To show that the Lord is upright. That's important. He's my rock. Did you know what the rock means? On this church, I'll build my rock. It also means Yod, the tenth, the tree of life, on this rock, Christ Jesus, the anointed Christ, your tithe. I will build my house. That is the keys to the kingdom. You bind your tithe here. You bind your anointing here. By judging, offending, you bound up in heaven what you were expecting. When you loose it, baby, heaven opens up and it's loose to you. Ooh. I think it's because you have dominion and authority. To show that the Lord is upright and he's my rock, and there is no what? No unrighteousness. How could David say that? Because he believed it with his whole heart. Why did he believe it with his whole heart? Go to Acts chapter 2, something. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to David, this is talking about, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Christ hath God raised up. David had the gospel on resurrection of Christ taught to him. He saw it from afar. He believed it and received it and had a heart after God's own heart. And he was able to write in the Psalms, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of... David, do you know what you did? Do you have any idea all the stuff you... No, I'm not I don't have any recollection of it. My God is good and has paid the price because he saw it just like Abraham saw it. Bible in the New Testament says Abraham saw it before. So the death, burial, and resurrection. Come on. Get. I'm hoping that you're getting this. John 1, 5, there is no darkness in him. I need to quit. I got 50. I'm going longer. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Now just take a look at this. Remember the Lord's Prayer, and I've been doing a extensive study, and I'm on part 8, and I'm only up to give us this day our daily bread. But in a manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. I taught on all of this. For instance, the word our, that should deal with all the race problems. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. That means we all have the same Father. Oh my God, saved by the same seed, same by, not born of another mother, but born of the same mother. Somebody get a hold of this. It solves a race problem in America. I could take you through Father, but I ain't got time to do that. But there's so much contained in it. But the most important one that I want to share in the last 2 minutes that I don't have. And that is, hallowed be thy name. This is the prayer that God asked that we would not pray repetitiously. In fact, the scriptures just before said, don't pray repetitiously. So what has the church done for 2,000 years? We pray it repetitiously. Nonetheless, it is a good prayer to pray. Because you don't know, but once you understand the content of the prayer, you're praying much more than a repetitious prayer. Because the hallowed, going back from the Greek all the way through the Hebrew, means supreme goodness be thy name. Supreme goodness be thy name. Nah. You see, the reason that we are to praise God and praise and worship here, well, we experience the anointing and miracles can happen and the enemy gets defeated. Lots of stuff happens out of praise. But I want you to think about this for a minute. When I praise the Lord, there could be somebody beside me that thinks, he must think his God's worthy of praise. Oh, I might just be giving God a good name. Why would I worship? Gives God a good name. How do I defeat the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Oh, I might be giving God a good name. You see, the problem is with religion is we've given God a bad name. That's why people don't want him. That's why even our lives sometimes show, why would I want to be poor like you? That's your God? Why would I be sick like you? That's your God? What? Are you following me? See, We're his kids. He wants us blessed. He wants us to believe for healing. He wants us to believe for wealth. He wants us to believe for joy. He wants us to believe for, you're always suffering down, woe is me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That does not give God a good name. See, he's been trying to tell us he's good. He wants to bless us. He's not a respecter of persons, not a respecter of color, not a respecter of background, culture, poor, rich. Jesus showed us that. He ministered to everybody. But God just wants us to proclaim his goodness, show his goodness on this earth. Be good to the waitress. Be good to the waiter. Be good at your job. Be good at everything that you, whatever you can get. You are bringing good. You're making his name great. He wants to make your name great. That's the reason I believe my God is a good name. God, hallowed be thy name. He's been trying to tell us. Change the perception in your heart. Begin to see it. When you receive in your heart that God is good, I'm telling you, the whole Bible will change. The whole Bible will change. You start seeing the blessing of God. Start seeing things will happen in your life because there's no, see, when you believe God, okay, Lord, when you believe God is good God, you're operating in faith. You just left fear, and now your faith works. If you got that, give the Lord a hand clap today. Bless God. I got through most of it anyway. But the book covers a great deal more than that. But like I said, you'd have to get it online. That's the only way you can get it. It's on Shopify, and I think it's on Amazon and a bunch of places. You can order it through the church as well. You can sign up out there and order it. Your pastors have been reading it, and they pointed out something important to me, because I like to ask, and it's pretty heavy reading. So I'm warning you about that. And I'm also going to say this. Do not read part of it. Promise me you'll read all of it. Okay. Bless God. I'm going to turn it over to your pastors.